So they say they're looking at post-marketing reports of serious bleeding events related to Pradaxa. And admittedly, there's really not much to go on at this point. It's just one of these early statements that they come out with. But I just wonder what your thoughts are on it as someone who, you know, is newly in the process of prescribing Pradaxa.
And I think, you know, and I've been pretty consistent all along in saying that although the data with the new anticoagulants like Pradaxa is very favorable in a clinical trial setting, that there's great risk of enhanced demonstration of harm in the real world setting if it's not used optimally. And so for me, my hunch is that the FDA advisory and what will sort of play out with post-marketing surveillance is just that, that, you know, Pradaxa and the new 10A inhibitors are anticoagulants, so they'll cause people to bleed. Although the absolute bleeding event rates trended to be slightly more favorable in the new anticoagulants than warfarin in the clinical trials, in a real-world setting, I think that may not play out to be true. I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One is there will be more liberal prescribing in a less pure patient population. And so if people are not particularly cognizant of a patient's renal function, their body weight, you know, prior history of bleeding, et cetera, that you're sort of applying new drugs in patients who are even more prone to bleed. But the other part, I think, is that, you know, in subgroup analysis of these trials, the slight benefits of the new agents over warfarin were primarily in those patients who had poor warfarin control. So again, if you sort of see people saying, well, I'm just going to switch all of my patients from warfarin to these new agents, if patients had good warfarin control, you would predict that their outcomes would not be better and in fact maybe worse. So which of all of those factors, sort of this early sense is, it's probably going to play out to be a combination of all of it. I don't think there's anything inherently different that we know about the drug than we did before. You know, the FDA put the statement out. For my own patients, it won't cause me to take people who I prescribe Pradaxa and switch them back to warfarin. But part of that is because here in our healthcare system, we're pretty cautious in who gets put on one of the new agents. And so those that do are patients that are most like those in the clinical trial. And if they were already on warfarin, are those who had poor warfarin control, where the data would suggest that they'll still do better on Pradaxa than warfarin.
Right, okay. Do you have any idea how many new patients or how many patients you've prescribed Pradaxa, you know, since its approval? I know at first you said that you were seeing a pretty sharp increase in usage. Has that continued, or?
You know, within our healthcare system, not. You know, I would say that there's been a slight consistent uptick in prescribing of Pradaxa, but it really hasn't been widely embraced like it may be in other care settings. And I think the reason for that has a lot to do with, as an institution, as making a determination that, A, we wanted to sort of let things play out and see how Pradaxa performed in sort of real-world settings, and then, B, institutional recognition that we were going to largely prescribe Pradaxa in those patients who are most likely to benefit. And so that already narrows your eligible population, if you will. So if we have patients who have a high time and therapeutic range on their warfarin, we don't look to switch those folks to Pradaxa. You know, we think that they do as good, if not better, just staying on their warfarin.
Gotcha. Okay, well, sounds like a smart approach, and hopefully we'll get more information soon.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.